Dave, you have your Bibles. Turn, if you would, with me to Proverbs chapter number 27. This week, as I was just reading through Proverbs, I came across this verse. I always like to sometimes take a text and preach from it and go through the whole chapter. But when you do Proverbs, sometimes you just have to take a verse and maybe go in different directions. So I guess this would be called a topical message this morning. But I appreciate you being here. Proverbs 27. Also, it's good to have Brother Brett Ellenberg, his wife Catherine, and their daughter and their son. And then also Catherine's dad, Brother Cheryl Dunham, there with us today. We appreciate him being here in the service and appreciate all of you coming. We appreciate Brett. Most of you remember him. He preached the Sweetheart Banquet. And you remember Catherine. She was supposed to come to a Mother's Day thing a couple of years ago, and this COVID thing knocked that in the head, so I told her maybe this coming year we'll get it done. All right, if you have your Bibles, just Friday, or as I mentioned to you, Brother Ronald came by the house, and we need to pray for Brother Ronald, and I'm doing everything I can to encourage him, but he encourages me more than I encourage him. And he came by my house the other day, and he came in and sat down, and I was grateful that he came by and visited with me. And I mentioned we got the guitar out a little bit, not for long, but he took it, and we messed around a little bit with that. But we were talking, and I said, you know, Ronald, we never know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Ronald was going along fine. He was having some problems, but he never dreamed that he had a tumor. Brother David never knew, never thought he had leukemia, and has been doing well for a while, and all of a sudden it came. And so today I want to take this verse of Scripture, and I want to remind you that we're all living on God's time, and in God's time, God may allow things to come in our life that would not be pleasant. The Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow," verse 1 of chapter 27, "but thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Our Father, Lord, as we come today, we are grateful and thankful for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning, and Lord, to exalt your word and your name above all else. And Father, today I pray for those that have needs in their lives. I pray, Lord, for those that are here today that may be going through some kind of trial or difficulty in their life. But Lord, again, we thank you for life and understand what you do for us. And I pray now that you would guide and direct, have your will and way in the service here this morning. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of dealing with disappointment. I think oftentimes disappointment comes in our life, and I think anybody in the building or anybody in the world would have to say that they've had disappointments occur in their life. However, I believe when disappointment comes, it brings unhappiness. And by the way, one fellow said this: disappointment, the unhappiness that occurs by the failure of one's expectations. It seems to be a lot of man. So again, disappointment, the unhappiness that occurs by the failure of one's expectations. Could I just stop right there and say, you and I live we've had freedom, and we've lived in a country that we've been blessed to live in for a long time. And we look around the world, we see where other people are, we realize how blessed and fortunate we are. It was Winston Churchill that said, "Success in life is overcoming one disappointment after another." You know, success comes not by quitting, but success comes by continuing on, and whatever the failure might be or whatever the disappointment might be, we continue on to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. Life is filled with disappointments. I can remember probably as a kid, our disappointments wasn't quite as big as they are today, but yet we had disappointments as a child, and as we became adult, our disappointments sometimes even became more severe. A poet by the name of Alexander Pope, in a letter of 1727, he said, "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." You ought to write that down somewhere. That'd be a good phrase to remember. Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. And you know, there are, I believe, people that way. I know people today that I believe they don't ever seem to be disappointed about anything because they don't expect anything. People oftentimes disappoint us. The Bible said Job was hurt by his close friends. In fact, I can't imagine having the kind of friends Job did, because they came, and rather than lifting up, they put him down. The psalmist said in Psalm 41, verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I've trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." I tell you, there's nothing any more difficult than for a friend to disappoint you, maybe by the way they live or the things they do or the things they say. But remember, the Apostle Paul, listen, he was probably forsaken by more people than any of us ever would be. In 2 Timothy 4:16, he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Now, that's disappointing. He said, "I pray that it may not be laid to their charge." Now, he showed the grace that he had when he asked that that not be laid to their charge. How many times has people disappointed you? Friend, if you live another day, you're going to find disappointments are going to come your way. We face them every day, but when we do, we have to allow God to take over in our life. Places disappoint us. I've heard of many a pastor talking about how church experiences have hurt them. On the other hand, I've heard church members say sometimes how pastors have disappointed them and hurt them. And friend, understand today that we're all human. And we're in this world today that is a sinful world. But thank the Lord today that as we serve Him and as we're faithful to Him, no matter what disappoints us, we have to continue to serve Him. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 9, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season," He said, "we shall reap if we faint not." It's discouraging to continue to do right and seem to receive no thanks. And by the way, if you're serving the Lord so you can be thanked for it, you're serving Him for the wrong reason. We're serving because we are debtors to Him. Can I remind you that all the pleasure in the world, and I enjoy pleasure as much as you do, but all the pleasure in the world disappoints us. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:1, "I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity." So we find people will disappoint you, places will disappoint you, pleasures will disappoint you. But possessions, no matter what you got, it'll disappoint you. In Matthew 6, 19 and 20, the Bible said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I remind you today, wealth is a wonderful thing. We all need possessions and thank God for it. But today, understand today, all the possessions we have in the world will never bring perfect world where we have no disappointments. And so this morning, I want to speak to you for a few minutes to try to understand some things to help us to deal with disappointments. First of all, I want you to understand that as a child of God, we have to expect disappointments. You said, "I don't like that." Well, I don't either personally, but I trust God that He knows what's best for my life. In John 16, 33, the Bible said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." But He said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Aren't you glad this morning that we're serving the overcomer? Aren't you glad this morning that He has already taken care of it? And even though we have tribulation, you see, Jesus tells us that in this world that is laden with sin, is gripped of the wicked one, and there will be tribulation. Now, I don't believe the child of God will go through the tribulation as we know it, but the Bible said that we will suffer tribulation and persecution no matter who you are, in such a way that the world will show us the thing, the evil that they bring upon us, even as Kevin prayed and noticed in his prayer a while ago for the offering. We live in an evil world. But friend, today we serve a wonderful God and a great God. And understand, you just can't get through. You can't escape it. You can't get away from it. It's going to happen along the way. Martin Luther's masterful piece, he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." It's been called the battle hymn of the Reformation. James Moffat described it as the greatest hymn of the greatest man of the greatest period in German history. The triumphant song comes from Psalm 46, we read a while ago, that has inspired legions of Christians for nearly five centuries. But there's a significant twist to this. When Martin Luther wrote this psalm, or during the time that he wrote it, he was going through Great Depression. You see, even preachers get discouraged. Even preachers go through difficult times. But during the time that he wrote that, Martin Luther had experienced nearly a year of sickness and intense depression. It was a year of struggle, and one literally he wished he could escape and get away from. But in the depths of his pain and his sorrow, God visited him. And here's what it said: although none of us would run to discouragement and disappointment, we might do well to spend less time trying to shake it and more time trying to search for the truths God wants to show us when disappointments and discouragements come our way. Thomas Kemple said, "Why art thou disquieted? Because it happeneth not to thee according to thy wishes and desires. Who is he that hath everything according to his will? Neither I, nor thou, nor any man upon the earth." He said, marriages fail, children fail, parents fail, even good Christians disappoint you. And yes, as I said a while ago, even preachers. But no matter what befalls us, our faith and trust in God should remain the same, because God will never disappoint you. You hear me? I tell you today, disappointments come. You better expect disappointments, but don't expect any disappointments from God, because God never makes a mistake and he always leads us in the way that we go. Accept disappointments. I don't mention it often, but just briefly today, this verse became much clearer to me years ago when one Saturday morning early, the knock came to our door and told us that our son had been killed in a car accident. I wish that I could have changed it. I wish that I could have saved him. I wish that there had been something I could do. And somebody says, I don't know what in the world that I'm going to do if that was to happen to me. I don't know how I could accept that. I don't know how I could do it. Friend, if you're a child of God, expect disappointments, but accept disappointments. Because there was nothing I could do about it, but this verse came close to my heart and still is in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Friend, God works all things out, not just isolated incidents, but he works all things out for our good. Listen, God's not here to hurt us. God's here to help us. You said, how in the world can that help me? I don't know sometime, but I trust God that through it all, God will give me the strength and the help I need, and it will turn out for good. I remember evangelist, I can't even think of his name right now, but his son collapsed on a basketball court and died, and their family sang a song for his glory and for my good. You see, God works all things out. You see, evil is prevalent in this fallen world, but God is able to turn it around and make it good. A fellow that wrote the book, The Discipline of Disappointment, he said, disillusionments, despair, defeat, and degrading self-pity do not meet nor mend disappointment. But he said, going onward does. I thought that was interesting. Delusionment, despair, defeat, degrading self-pity do not meet nor mend disappointment, but going onward does. An excellent example is found in the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14. You can read it later. I'm not going to read it to you, but Paul was set to meet with Titus, and there's no regular given to swine, but Titus didn't show up. He didn't come. And when he did, Paul was kind of restless in the spirit. And how did he react from the disappointment? I'll tell you how he reacted. He just kept on going. He just kept on preaching. He kept on serving and doing what God would have him to do. He said, how do I accept disappointment? First of all, thankfulness always helps. Friend, if you're here this morning at the sound of my voice, you're blessed. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, know you're going to heaven. You're blessed. If you're here today, and you may even have something going on right now, you may be sick. I think of the ones that are going through treatments and all the things that are going on with them. I guarantee you, every one of them that know the Lord will say, I have so much to thank Him for. And a thankful heart will help you accept the disappointments that come in your life. Assurance helps. Paul was certain, although he had been disappointed, he could be satisfied in whatever position or provision the Master made for him. Wherever God leads me. You know, I've wondered about missionaries, and I'm so thankful to be able to live here in Thomasville and minister at Victory Baptist Church, and I got some of the best people in the world, and I thank God for every one of you. But I think about the missionary that's over in Africa, or think about the missionary that's in India, or think about the missionaries that may be in the Middle East. I think about what they go through. But you know what I found? I found that even in separation from family and friends and their church, they are still encouraged because they know how to give thanks, and the assurance of knowing that is what helps them. Going on helps. Rather than sit and sulk by the road's life side, Paul went on to the next place of his service. You see, there's a disciple of disappointment that would destroy us unless we cause it to lift us up to a new sphere in order that God may use us for His honor and His devotion. I tell you, if disappointment comes, it don't help to stick your head in the sand. It's going to still be there when you lift your head out. It's not going to be there anymore. I mean, it will be there continually. Nor can we carry it around. Our disappointments are like a badge. We relive them over and over. There's only the lead of further hurt and despair. When facing disappointments, we need to apply this part of the sincerity of prayer. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble with this thing today, but I'll get it worked out here in a minute. When facing disappointments, we need to apply this part, sincerity of prayer. God, help me. And by the way, you've seen this before, a lot of times on bookmarks. It says, God, help me to accept the things I cannot change. Friend, I'm telling you, there's just certain things in this world you can't change. But God can. And we just have to trust Him. It is only with God's help that we can accept them. So we find, first of all, that we need to expect disappointments. Whether we want them or not, they're going to come. And as long as you live, I've lived 71 years. And I'm grateful for the life that God has given to me. But there's one disappointment after another. And disappointments are still coming my way. But God is still meeting the needs that I have as I go along. Here's a hard one. Appreciate the disappointments. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you've gone just a little bit too far. Now you're telling us to be thankful for them, accept them, and all that stuff. And now you say, appreciate them. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I'll be honest with you, my wife would vouch for that, not that I want her to. Don't go to her after service and ask her. It's not even worth talking about. But I'm going to tell you something, I've had problems with patience all my life. And I wish I could stand here today and tell you they had been perfected. I do believe I can tell you they are better. I do believe I can tell you that they've come a long way. But you know, that may be my fault, that God may be allowing things to come into my life to give me the patience that I need in order that I might understand and do. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, today we're living in a selfish world. But just appreciate your disappointments. I've often said this. If we didn't have trials in our life, as a Christian, we wouldn't be worth anything. It's in those times of trials, it's in those times of disappointments, it's in those times of difficulty that God is trying to teach us. If you're a child of God, God wants you to learn the lesson that He has for you in order that you might understand. Somebody said, preacher, how can I appreciate disappointments? You don't know how bad I've been hurt. You know, James refers to the trials and testings. He said, not if they're rough, but he says when they're rough. Disappointments will come. But it's possible to profit from these disappointments. I would say I've learned in many trials of my life. Most of you know, I go back and I tell you, my family, we've, and again, I'm not trying to bemoan it at all. I don't understand all things. I do understand God, but most of you know that years ago in 2000, my mother died. My daddy died 5 weeks later. My son died a couple months later. I not only lost him, I lost a 23-year-old nephew. I lost a sister at 33. Her husband shot and killed her. And I know what hurt is. And I know what trials are. And you said, preacher, how can you say you appreciate those things? Well, you know, I can appreciate them, and I hope you can appreciate them, because I believe God has made me a better preacher. He's helped me to be a better pastor. Not that I wanted them, not that I desired them, and not that I looked for them. But when I come to your house and you've lost a child, I know how you feel. When I come to your house and you've lost a sibling or you lost your parents, I know how you feel. But friend, today, I look back today and see that God used every one of them. And you said, but preacher, how can you say you've lost your family? I've lost my family, but not literally. Listen, one day I'm going to see them again in heaven, because all of them, they were saved by the grace of God. They had accepted Christ as their Savior, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And friend, they're way off better than I am today in heaven than they would be down here. And I can appreciate the disappointments. I didn't want them. I didn't desire them. I didn't look for them. But I thank God He helped me to learn how to deal with them and how to cope with them. Consider this. One of the most tragic hurts in life comes sometime with the sweetest of blessings. This is quite interesting. Many of you may have heard this story before, but a 67-year-old man stood on the curb and he watched his life burn up, literally his business, everything that he had in 1914. As a result, insult to injury, his property was way underinsured. He didn't have enough insurance to cover it. His son was named Charles, and Charles came up and he was saying, my heart aches for my dad. He was 67. He's no longer a young man. Everything has gone up in flames. But when Charles found his father at the fire, he was surprised at what he said. He said, son, where's your mama? Go get her. Bring her down here. She's never seen and never will see anything like this. Charles, a little confused, went on and went and got his mother and brought her down. The next morning, the old man gathered all his employees at the charred ruins, and he said, there is a great value in disaster. Did you get that? He said, there's a great value in disaster. All my mistakes are burned up. Thank God I can start over anew. And 3 weeks later, Thomas Edison invented the phonograph. He was a man that didn't let disappointment get him down, but he just looked on the bright side rather than on the defeated side. I love to talk about this young man. Years ago, I had the privilege of going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and seeing the story of Joseph presented in a play. Joseph, a good man. Joseph, a godly man. And you remember Joseph was taken into the Potiphar's house, and he was there, and Potiphar's wife came and tried to take him and tried to get him to lay with her. And he left his cloak, and he ran out of the house, and he ended up having to go to prison. He ended up having to suffer through all kinds of difficulties. But you know what he said? He said, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph, he was in prison. The butlers, you remember, lied to him, and they told him they'd have him get out. But yet he never stopped trusting God to meet his need. Somebody said disappointment, sometimes like a boot camp. It's where we learn to help others go. It's the place where we learn to minister to other hurting people along the road of life. You know, we ought not be so, you know, we ought to get to the place in our spiritual life. We ought to be concerned about the disappointments that come our way. We need to expect them. We need to accept them. We need to realize that we need to appreciate them. But we need to also understand that God teaches us so we can teach others and be a help and a blessing to them. Then quickly, number four, learn from disappointments. You know, there's some things happened to me that literally changed my life. In fact, it was when my sister got killed that I tell you, I felt the hand of God and the call of God on my life. I don't know why it was at that particular time. I just know that during that time, I was already trying to do right. I was trying to serve the Lord. I was going to Bible school. But it was during that time I said, God wants me to preach. And I surrendered to preach. I miss my sister, but I thank God today that I learned from the tragedy that occurred in my life. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:11. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. No matter what the disappointment is, no matter how hard the difficulty may be, no matter what is it you're facing, Paul said, as a child of God, I've learned to be content. I can accept all things because Christ liveth in me. You see, God allows disappointments in our life to prove our faith or to prove our lack of faith. Friend, I tell you, it is discouraging when disappointments come to different people, especially the people in our church that are going through it now. Think of Miss Teresa Jones, and I can think of hundreds of others, that many that have already passed on and left us here. But I tell you what, many times I'm so encouraged because I find that the difficulty and the disappointment strengthens them and encourages them more than anything. Brother Ronald said to me the other day, he said, man, I'm just going to keep on serving God. I'm just going to keep on being faithful to Him, whatever He wants me to do. And he said this. He said, either way, I'll be a winner. If the Lord takes me, he said, hey, I'm going to heaven. It'll be all right. Boy, we're praying. I said, man, we're praying that's not going to be the case right away. But that's when I think we started talking about it. I said, Brother Ronald, ain't none of us got a guarantee we'll live another day. And quite probably many times we're shocked when the disappointments come. Disappointment invades our life. But stop. Wait a minute. You know what most people say, and especially lost people that don't know Christ, why is this happening to me? I learned a long time ago, I used to think that. Of course, I've never had much happen to me, so I can't really use this comparison. But I've heard people, they would say, why is this happening to me? Christian people. But I learned, here's what we ought to say, why not me? What makes me any better than you? What makes me, listen, I was talking to a man this morning at breakfast, and he said, you know, it just seems like some bad things are happening to some good people. And I said, yes, but if they know the Lord, he's still good, because no matter what happens, they're going to be with him. They invade your life, but if you learn anything from that disappointment, know that God will get you through it no matter what it is. Jonah learned that it don't pay to run from God. I've learned it don't pay to run from God. Some of you have learned it don't pay to run from God. And I tell you today, it surely don't pay. But thank the Lord, when Jonah hit the dry ground again, he went preaching the gospel that God had called him to. Peter learned that it doesn't pay to be a coward and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he got it right and God come back and used him in a mighty way, and he preached on the day of Pentecost and all those people got saved. But literally, he followed afar off. He cursed the Lord and said, basically, I'm not with him. But in the long run, he repented and he wept. The prodigal son. You know, sometimes children, they think they got it so bad at home. Well, I'll just go. I'll change my course of life. I'll just go somewhere else and do something else. You ought to go over and read about the prodigal son. He went to his father and said, give me everything that's mine. I want it now. I'm leaving. I'm going. And he went, spent it all. And when all his so-called friends had taken advantage of him, he didn't have no money. The Bible said he came to his senses. And he returned and came back to God. Charles Spurgeon told of a Christian who said, I used to have many disappointments until I changed one of the letters. Now listen, instead of disappointments, I put an H in front of it and made it two words, his appointments. Instead of disappointments, don't say they're disappointments, say they're his appointments. Because God has allowed them to come into our life to either show our faith or to show our lack of faith in being faithful to him. And then lastly, turn to God in prayer with faith in disappointments. Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Sometimes we feel like David. By the way, if you read your Bible very often, you'll find David had one disappointment after another. But the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. If you read your Bible, you know Paul was one of the greatest missionaries ever lived. But man, the disappointments and the things that he went through. But yet we find David, through all the disappointments that he experienced, he said, lead me to the rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. When we face disappointments, we can flee to him. In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares. He'll lift you up when you fall, and he'll help you along the way. Unless you expect them, accept them, appreciate them, learn from them, and turn to God in them, they will destroy you and they'll destroy your life. People disappoint us, places disappoint us, pleasures disappoint us, possessions disappoint us. But friend, God will never disappoint us. I'm so thankful that I trusted Christ years ago. I know I'm saved. You said, preacher, all those things you told me happened to you. Man, if that's what happens to a saved person, I don't know about it. Oh, but the good news is I'll be together with my family again. And I tell you, if you're lost, you'll be separated forever and ever. You'll be placed in an eternal place, separated from God in a place called hell. But I'm so thankful today. The trials of this life seem as but for a moment compared to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So rather than disappointments, could they not be just his appointments? Expect them. Thank him for them and accept them. And then appreciate them. And learn from them. But then turn to God in prayer and faith, believing. There's not a single problem that God cannot solve. Hear me? There's not a single problem that God cannot solve. Turn to him this morning. Put your faith and trust in him. I'm so thankful today to know that I'm a child of the King. My Heavenly Father has been so good to me. You said, preacher, wait a minute. Listen to me. God knows what's best for my life. He said, all things work together for the good of them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.